A Safe and Shadowed Place by Guy Haley. Read by Stephen Perring. Gendor Scryvok, the painted count, claw master of the 45th Company, stood motionlessly on the command deck of the Umber Prince. He ignored the bustle of the ship's bridge crew and stared out through the last armour glass portal still intact. Ramrod straight, as if inspecting a flypast, he looked not upon a legion fleet, but upon the remains of one. A filigreed junkyard of broken vessels drifting purposelessly against the raw, polychromatic fury of the etheric storm shrouding Ultramar, framing it in twists of superstructure as delicate as ice patterns on glass. It was a wholly depressing sight. Beautiful in its own way, he supposed, but Scryvok had never been one for beauty. Though the opacity of the window was turned almost to maximum, the light of the warp-borne disturbance pained his sensitive eyes. Without moving, he shifted his gaze to look out past the twisting tendrils of the storm into the deep night beyond the borders of Rabute Gilliman's pompous little kingdom. What few healthy ships had made it to this place had long since departed. He did not blame them. There was an anomaly at the edge of the Sothan system, a midnight blind spot out past the Mandeville Point, framed against the corona of the distant Sapphire Cluster. It had long been a favoured rendezvous for the Night Lords, who took delight in plotting their murderous business under the nose of the Ultramarines. That odd, shadowy blackness remained. But Sotha had changed. No longer a backwater, it practically swarmed with Gilliman's miserable sons. As soon as the more functional 8th Legion vessels coming into the shadow caught sight of the streams of ships making their way to and from the planet, and the new orbital platform, and the babble of noospheric traffic, they had turned tail and fled back into the Empyrean. The rest had departed one by one, limping away as soon as sufficient repairs had been made to their ravaged hulls. Those that remained were the hopeless cases. The Umber Prince, Scryvok reluctantly supposed, was one of them. He had spent many sleepless nights anticipating the wail of proximity alarms, but the 13th had not come. He had become as bored of waiting for them as he had of everything else here, but Gendor Scryvok reckoned he had a good idea now. What the cause of all this increased activity was, and that it had something to do with the regular energy pulses coming from Sotha. Luckily for him, these emanations had made the Ultramarines, if anything, more blind to the enemy lurking beyond the reach of their senses. For now, at least, this remained a safe and shadowed place. Of the 9 remaining vessels, only the Umber Prince, Dominus Noctem, and Shadow Blow bore signs of activity. The rest were entirely dark, their reactors dead, legionaries evacuated. All lights out, they had become slab-sided shadows thwarting the stars. Scryvok wondered what terrors now played out within those cold hulls, what petty princelings ruled over the serfs now that their masters had removed themselves in the dark of the broken decks. Did they hoard dwindling supplies of food, air and water to support their impermanent thrones? He was sure that it must be so. If there was one thing Scryvok had learned in his decades of service, it was that humans always reverted to type, and that type was ugly. Considering the irony of these half a dozen Nostromos in miniature gave him a certain amusement. It helped stave off the boredom, at least. Lacking attitudinal control, the damned vessels were sliding into one another, their mass attraction pulling them slowly across the millpond calm of space, where very soon they would meet their final ends as an agglomerated mess of broken spars and mashed hull plating. He quite liked that idea. The collision was something else to look forward to. He had been there for 7 months. He checked the chrono count on his lens displays, as he had come to do almost obsessively, counting the hours of every day off with increasing annoyance. Yes, he thought. 7 months of skulking in the shadows, licking my wounds. Marvellous. The Umber Prince had fared only slightly better than the dark ships, coming so close to destruction that it was no longer funny, and Scryvok was a legionary who found a lot of unpleasant things funny. His serfs had laboured incessantly to heal it. It had been an unconscionably long wait, and today was the day that would prove their efforts insufficient. The Dominus Noctem and Shadowblow were leaving. He pondered then, with a twinge of unease, upon Lord Kurz's fate. Before his own ship had torn itself away from the battle against the Dark Angels, he had heard that Kurz had boarded the Invincible Reason. A good number of the Atramentar had followed. Scryvok was more concerned with glory than some of his kin, but that had been a suicidal kind of glory that he wished to have no part of, and the Umber Prince had ripped into the warp with its hull aflame. And so, instead of the pyres of the guilty, he saw the plasma torches of repair crews as they went about their tedious business. "I have only myself to blame," he thought wryly. Out past the storm, the stars were a scattering of fractured diamonds against deepest black, and the ruined fleet hung under their unblinking glare. His hands tensed within his midnight blue gloves, immaculate again. He had little else to do but polish his war gear. Arc-projected lightning skittered across their gleaming surfaces. "Nothing," he thought. "I can do nothing at all." Scryvok thought back to the bolt holes he had favoured in his youth, running with the gangs, hidden places where a fugitive might rest a while until the search passed them by, though a lot of them turned just as easily into traps. A cough brought him out of the slum stink and the greasy wet of foundry-tainted rain, back to the bridge, back from one hole and into another. He honestly couldn't decide which was worse.
"My lord!"
Irritation prickling his scalp, Scryvok turned away from the hopeless view outside to take in the equally hopeless mortal addressing him. Rantax was old and bald and very, very tired. His black Nostraman eyes were surrounded by deep rings in his pale skin. In the half-light of the command deck, blemished skin and eyes blended together to make them seem impossibly huge. His uniform was loose upon his body, a consequence of surviving on half-rations. The command interface he wore at the back of his skull was crowded with bunched skin. His insignia had been poorly amended. He looked like a sickly boy playing dress-up, a caricature of a man.
"Lieutenant Harantax, I suppose you've another damage report for me," said Scryvok.
"It is Shipmaster Harantax now, my lord."
"It is whatever I say it is, Harantax." Undaunted, Harantax continued. One did not survive in Nostraman society by displaying weakness.
"Your conference with Lords Klandar and Vost is due to take place soon."
"Yes, yes," Scryvok said impatiently. "So get on with it."
"Very well. If I may."
Harantax waited for no reply and pinched the haptics embedded in his fingertips to cast a hololithic representation of the Umber Prince onto a nearby display. The graphic wavered uncertainly in the air before taking something approaching a stable form. A good number of the projecting lenses were broken, and as the image rotated, sections of it blinked out of existence sequentially.
"We estimate that it will be 3 more days before the main power links to the Geller fields will be fully operational, my lord."
Scryvok sighed loudly.
"This is getting tedious. I'm pretty sure I told you, by which you know I mean I am absolutely sure I told you, that you had until today."
Harantax looked the giant warrior steadily in his red eye lenses.
"Tedious it might be, my lord, but the progress we have delivered far exceeds our best estimates. I said 15 days. It will be done in 9.
"Fear drives men well."
"Fear only goes so far. They have performed well only because of my oversight and planning."
Scryvok stared at Harantax.
"I should kill you."
"I could kill you." "Perhaps so, but you won't," said Harantax. "Are you then immune to fear?"
Harantax's eye twitched, his suppressed terror seeping out of him. Scryvok savoured it. The little man tried so hard, and it was a joy to torment him.
"Of course not. But you will not kill me if you want this ship approaching anything like void worthiness within the next few days,"
he replied, then added,
"My lord,"
with just enough insolence that Scryvok laughed. It growled out of his helm speakers sinisterly.
"So soon," said the legionary. "I should embrace you tightly instead. Or maybe now, after so many months in this pit, I am past caring and will crush your head just to alleviate the endless boredom. He raised his voice up to a shout of being here. The noise on the bridge, a bare fraction of the hubbub that had once filled the place, quietened for a moment. The surviving crew, all of them as hollow-eyed and exhausted-looking as Harantax, glanced nervously at the Space Marine. Harantax ignored his commander's posturing. "Nothing on this ship was untouched, my lord." The shipmaster waved his hand along the battered flank of the craft. The outline of the Umber Prince, as it had been, was sketched in a soft green wireframe, while what actually remained of the ship was painted in soft reds, pulpy marrow in a shattered bone. 13% loss in overall mass, 70% crew mortality, 63 of 300 decks are open to the void, 80% reduction in weapons output. We have come close to reactor death on 6 separate occasions, and yet we are still here, mainly because of my efforts. If your time has been boring, my lord, mine has been anything but. I'm so glad for you, Lieutenant. I am master of this vessel, Captain Scryvok. Only on my sufferance. And your sufferance is predicated on my competence. So if you want to rot here forevermore, I would advise you to finish me now. Gendor Scryvok laughed, but only once. It was both a concession to Harantax's point and a threat. 3 days. That is good news, I suppose. He paused a moment before adding grudgingly, "Well done, but too late." An insistent chime sounded in his helm. A communications officer approached, fear sweating from her every pore. She lacked Harantax's mettle and did her best to ignore the Space Marine, speaking only to her shipmaster.
"Lords Klandar and Vost are requesting channels."
"Fantastic. Everything's broken, but I can still talk to those bastards," Scryvok said to her. "Fine. Put them through. Full encryption. I don't want any of this getting out and alerting the bloody 13th Legion." The woman swallowed, close to collapse. Scryvok could see. And well, she should be. He imagined skinning her, and the thought piqued his interest. She looked like a screamer, but then they all screamed on the skinning frames.
"Yes, my lord."
2 faces appeared in the hololith, displacing the Umber Prince into a fuzz of collapsing light. Captain Klander, known as Quickblade in the 23rd Company, spoke first.
"We are ready to depart as agreed, Scryvok. Will you be joining us?"
"Nice to see you too, brother," said Scryvok acidly.
"And you, Red Wing."
"Scryvok,"
Vost acknowledged him.
"Are you ready?" repeated Klander dolefully. His long face always looked utterly miserable, although there was a touch more contempt to it than usual.
3 more days, or so my loyal shipmaster tells me.
Then we must leave without you.
72 hours, can you not delay? 3 vessels are more potent than 2.
Klander and Vost looked away from him. He supposed that they were exchanging glances, silently asking each other which of them would deliver the blow, although their projections looked past each other from his perspective. Good news never follows such a glance, he thought.
"This war is done for us," said Vost. "We have no Primarch, no orders and no purpose. If we remain here, we will be destroyed. The 13th will notice us soon, and there are a great many of them around Sotha. I have no desire to face them on such unfavourable terms."
"They will not see us. This place has served our Legion well for a long time before now."
"Sotha is not what it was, brother," said Vost.
He was less stern in character than Klander, and closer personally to Scryvok, if such a thing could be said of any Night Lord. His sneer was polluted by the weakness of remorse, hardly apparent, but still there.
"Such confraternity humbles me. Might I remind you that you cursed the others for leaving us behind?" asked Scryvok.
The ghost of a smile quirked the corner of Klander's perpetually downturned mouth.
"That was them, this is us. The Legion is finished, Scryvok. Perhaps if we are fortunate, we might aid the War Master in some other small way. But generally, it's every bastard for himself."
"It is the Nostramon way," said Klander. "We were foolish ever to forget that.
We await the next pulse from Sota to cover our departure. And that, the storm. You'll brave that, will you? I don't much like the look of it.
A good job, as you are staying here, said Klander. I feel our passage will be safe enough back through it.
I'm glad you're so certain. Scryvok shifted tack. His tone became more conciliatory, an entirely transparent sham.
I don't suppose you'd consider taking me and my men with you.
Klander snorted.
And have you usurped me, knifing me in the back on my command throne? You never were one to take orders kindly from others. There is only room enough for one captain aboard this vessel, and that captain is I, Klander Quickblade. I'll take that as a no, then.
The two officers' outlines flickered, a sure sign of their reactors powering up to full yield. Klander gave him one last withering glare and ended his transmission.
For what it's worth, Scryvok, I'm sorry. We can't stay here any longer, said Vost. It's worth nothing, said Scryvok coldly. Nothing at all.
No, I suppose it isn't, Vost agreed.
Goodbye, Scryvok.
The hololith cut out. Scryvok ordered all hands to battle stations in case his erstwhile brothers decided to raid his vessel for supplies, although evidently 31 claws of space marines were enough to put them off. Nor did they open fire, almost certainly to avoid alerting their ignorant hosts at Sotha than from any sense of loyalty. With silent power, the Dominus and the Shadow ignited their engine stacks and pushed off from the graveyard. The 13th Legion were punctilious in everything. Right on cue, just over half an hour later, they did whatever they were doing on Sotha again, and the predictable pulse of energy washed out from the world. It overwhelmed Vox channels and astropaths both, just as it had every other time. Sparks rained down from poorly repaired systems. The dim bridge lumens on the Umberprints flickered. A burning wash of light rushed over the Night Lord's hiding place. Scryvok's lenses dimmed, and the armor glass portal dimmed further. But it was not enough. He shut his eyes. The light seared afterimages across his vision, and he did not see Klander and Vost's ships clawing their escape into the warp. At least they had the decency to proceed to a safe distance beyond his own vessel.
And then there was one, he breathed.
Only the prince and the dark ships bleeding their last into the void. His eyes watered from the energy pulse. He lacked the energy to unclasp his helmet and wipe them dry.
Recall, everyone. I want this ship ready to leave as soon as we have the engines back online. Send armsmen out to the other ships. Restock our vessel with full crew. We are going it alone. My lord. And get me Kellenvar, said Scryvok.
Herantax hesitated.
Nobody knows where he is, my lord.
Why not?
An error of judgment.
You know.
Scryvok jabbed an armored finger at Herantax.
If you weren't the highest-ranking officer left on this ship, I would kill you. You know that, right?
I'm certain of it, my lord.
Damn him, thought Scryvok, for his impertinence. Damn him and Kellenvar both.
Just find the headsman. Get him here now.
Kellenvar pushed deeper into the man's ruined face. The wretch gave out a moan of pain as blood and gelatinous matter wept down his cheek. Kellenvar's other hand gripped the man's shoulder so tightly that his collarbone cracked. Kellenvar looked him up and down, so weak, so fragile.
It is good that you stop struggling. You accept your fate. This is wise.
Please, my lord, please, said the man,
his voice a pained whisper.
I have served the Legion faithfully all my life.
No doubt you think this is not fair.
Kellenvar's face was close to the man's. He smelled blood, the humours of the ruptured eye, dirt and fear. He moved his finger just a fraction. The man gurgled in fresh agony.
It is not fair, but there is no fairness in all the universe. Do you not agree?
The man's only response was to choke out a phlegmy sob.
So tell me where my brother is, and I will give you a swift release from the sins of this life.
Kellenvar's tone made it absolutely certain what the alternative would be.
Which brother, my lord?
Gasped the man. Kellenvar contrived to look puzzled.
My brother. I have only one.
I have not seen any other legionaries since... Please, I beg you, release me.
No. I already said, not a brother, my brother,
the man screamed.
My lord, please, please. He said he would flay me alive if we told.
I do not think that this is of much concern now, do you?
Please, no more. He is in the great vault. Please, my lord.
No, that wasn't so hard, was it? Be thankful. I will grant you mercy.
Kellenvar pushed harder, hitting the back of the eye socket, which gave under the metal of his gauntlet like an eggshell. The man shuddered and died, his brains parting before Kellenvar's thumb. He dropped the serf to the floor, wiped his hand on the dead man's roughly spun robes, and pulled him into the centre of the corridor. Unclamping the great axe he wore across his backpack, he set its energy field ablaze. A banging strike left a smoking gash in the deck plating, and he plucked the man's head free to regard it. Kellenvar searched about for somewhere to display it and pushed it onto a broken lumen bracket before striding off into the dark of the dead ship. Old habits died hard. The Nikton had been the largest ship in the fleeing rabble that had made the Sotha rendezvous. It had burst back into reality and barely managed to bring itself to a halt. The reactor flickered out not long afterwards, and the ship had descended into chaos. Elements of two companies, the Impossible Dawn and the Deepest Dark, had been present. Rivalry turned into outright warfare, and nigh on 100 Night Lords were killed in the fighting before some semblance of order had been restored. And then, only because of the subsequent arrival of other vessels at the rendezvous. The Nikton was subsequently abandoned to darkness, along with its surviving serf crewmen. But it took a long time for a ship to truly die. The organs might fail, the brain go dark, but life lingered long in the corpse before every cell perished. The stranded survivors digested their host as bacteria in the gut slowly digested a dead man. The great artificial star at the vessel's heart was extinguished, but power lingered still, running from auxiliary stations that would burn for 1,000 years. There were many, many lesser machines that survived the death of the whole, enough to sustain a debased form of human life. Men and women might live on within the Nikton for generations, gradually forgetting about the galaxy outside. Kellenvar heard the serfs rather than seeing them. Every so often, scuttling footsteps ran away from him, like rats in the walls. He made no attempt to go quietly, nor any attempt to pursue them.
"I could catch you if I wanted to, little rats," he shouted. "You know it!"
His voice echoed through empty halls and chambers, chasing down distant corridors where there were only the dead to listen. He laughed and walked on. Whole areas of the ship were inaccessible, and Kellenvar was forced to backtrack many times. Only twice did he don his helmet and force his way out into the void. The immeasurable, dark expanse of the cosmos always made him feel something close to fear. He was a child of narrow alleyways. He had never enjoyed the sight of open space. Within the hull, the air was laced with complex chemical aromas brought on by its burning. His neuroglottis processed it all, feeding him the delicious aftertaste of 1,000 deaths. He walked corridors choked by blackened corpses, their twisted limbs and screaming faces carbonized into one angular mass, so it appeared as though some multi-limbed monster had met its end there. In the third concourse of the major throughway, he found the corpses of his battle brothers, their armor cracked by each other's mass-reactive shells. He looked them over with disinterest, seeking any he knew, but the companies aboard the Nikton were not ones he had ever fought alongside. Their markings and kill trophies were unfamiliar. In one great atrium, ruptured pipes sent cascades of water, coolant and human waste rushing down. In some places, the artificial gravity had gone, forcing him to plod along with ungainly, maglocked steps, while in others, the cold of deep space seeped into the deck, coating metalwork and dead flesh alike in thin layers of frost. He went aft. now more than 2 kilometres from where Scryvok's salvage teams were hacking at the corpse of the Nicton like sea scavengers devouring a whale. There, Kellenvar caught the scent of fresh blood. Not long afterwards, he heard screams.
Kellenkir, he breathed.
He shifted his grip upon his axe, and thereafter he went with greater care. The serf had not been lying. Kellenkir had set up his lair in the heart of the great vault. The relics of 2 centuries of warfare in the service of the Emperor had been smashed from their stands. Mildewed rags were all that remained of the banners of once honoured enemies. Xenos weapons and skeletons were heaped in corners. Artifacts from dozens of scattered human civilizations lay broken upon the floor. Whether this was from deliberate vandalism or merely the punishment that the ship had sustained at the hands of the Dark Angels was immaterial. All sense of the vault as a place of remembrance had been smashed by treachery either way. It had become instead a place of horror. Shackled bodies, all bearing signs of cruel torture, hung from every stanchion and pillar. The central aisle of the hall was lined by eyeless human heads. The air stank of excreta, blood, spoiled meat and burning flesh. Fireballs, torches and tallow wicks of human fat gave the room a hellish light. What few windows remained unbroken were unshuttered, the view of the eerie starless nightmare beyond bringing further menace to the vault. 6 crude cages lined one wall. Most were empty, but 2 were crammed with emaciated, filthy bodies. Chips of light glinting from their eyes betrayed the life that was still in them. Otherwise, they were utterly still, resolutely staring away from the iron table at the centre of the room. Chained to it was a serf in the last stages of death. Male or female could not be discerned. Breath still bubbled from its lipless, eyeless face. The skin that had formerly clad it was folded with obscene decorum over an empty frame. There Kellenvar saw his brother Kellenkir at work. He was as guilty as the next Night Lord of atrocity, true enough. He enjoyed it, but it was always to some end or other, not merely a pleasure in its own right. Such were the workings of his twisted morality. What he saw in the vault was simply gratuitous.
Brother, he called softly.
Kellenkir answered without looking up from his work. He was naked, bloody to his elbows, the gore of his latest victim and the clean metal of his interface ports glittering in the firelight.
I heard you coming. You always were too heavy-footed, Kellenvar. I have come to take you back. The Umber Prince is finally ready to depart. Time to put aside this idle torture and take up your weapons again.
There is nothing idle about this. I teach these people a valuable lesson. He bent over, dug his fingers in between the ribs of his victim. It made a surprisingly loud crack, and Kellenkir's unconscious plaything took 2 ragged breaths. Then, with a long, drawn-out exhalation, redolent of relief, the tortured soul slipped away into oblivion.
Scryvok is going to take your toys away regardless, brother. Come back with me.
Kellenkir looked up.
Why? Has he killed his own?
We were out of supplies. We were not sure if we would escape. Now we need the crew. Leaving them here to fight for survival means we get only the strongest, and they'll be pathetically grateful to be rescued.
How very noble.
How very practical, my brother,
countered Kellenvar.
As the 13th would say, at least.
He walked to the table's edge, his axe still at the ready.
We are no longer brothers, said Kellenkir. This travesty of a fleet has fallen apart. You will always be my brother. You are my brother. We were born from the same mother, the same father. Brother is a word that means to us more than it does to the rest.
Does it? What does blood mean, really? Nothing. Nothing is worth anything, not loyalty and certainly not blood. Everything is worthless in the face of the night.
Kellenvir grabbed the lolling head of the dead serf and, by brute force alone, wrenched it free of the neck.
Father would be so proud, said Kellenvar sarcastically.
Which one?
Lord Kurz.
You killed our flesh father.
I did, didn't I?
Kellenkir smiled at the memory.
I remember so little from my time as a weakling, but I remember that.
Come back with me. We will reave the stars together. Out there, that is where we should be, bringing terror to 1,000 worlds.
Oh, yes. And how long will this dream last under a traitorous dog like Skryvok?
Our legion is no more. Those remaining are only the murder gangs of dead Nostramo born again. We are not an army. We're returning to type, hiding in the shadows. We'll be at each other's throats again before long. A man can only ever be the man he is, transhuman or not. We were fools to believe that it could be different, Kalinvar. The other legions are right to hate us.
Kellenkir tossed the head aside. It landed with a wet thump.
There is no civilization, no justice, only pain and deprivation, and suffering, and the blessed end of suffering. Surely this place is proof of that, if proof were ever needed. Why fight it? I will remain here and bring an end to suffering and sin.
Kalinvar shook his head.
Not all of the Legion is accounted for. We can rejoin the others and fight on.
He lowered his guard a little to show his sincerity, but only a little.
He knew that Kellenkir was one of the few who could best him in single combat.
Please, brother.
Who is Skryvok to think it'll be any better in the rest of the Legion? The Night Haunter is dead. There is no way he could have survived the lion.
We don't know that, brother.
He nearly killed him the first time. The lion is not one to leave a job unfinished.
Kellenvar's face contorted. This wasn't going as planned. His brother was always contrary, but never so awkward.
We're all we have, you and I. It's always been different for us. We're not like the others. Even amidst all this, we have that.
Nobody has anything. Nothing has value.
Kellenkir held up a pendant on a length of chain.
Have you seen one of these before?
No, said Kellenvar.
Should I have?
Kellenkir chuckled, and the serfs in the cage gibbered in terror at the sound.
No. I think the likes of us not seeing it is entirely the point.
He tossed it over to his brother, who caught it in his hand. The chain was sticky with blood.
Kellenvar held it up.
An Aquila.
I've found a few of them wearing these as amulets, explained Kellenkir. And on deck 52, I found a whole lot of them together. They'd killed themselves. There was a bigger one of those mounted on the wall.
So?
So? You always were the stupid one, Kellenvar. It was a congregation, a temple. They're worshipping the Emperor, hoping he'll come and rescue them. Imagine that! Imagine it sinking into their fragile little skulls that there will never be any settlement dues, no shift rotations, no alternative duties, pay or rights like some of the legions offer. Just endless servitude in the belly of an 8th Legion starship, and most likely a painful death at the end. This is our war, not theirs. So they turn to the Emperor as a god. The Imperial truth, he scoffed. How quickly they abandoned it for a taste of hope.
Kellenkir turned to the captured serfs.
Hope is an illusion. Life is pain, he bellowed. And I intend to perfect its art.
He went over to the cages and pointed at one cowering wretch. The man fell to his knees, pleading, not for life, but for a clean end. With a cruel smile, Kellenkir shook his head and swung his digit around to indicate another.
You!
He reached in with one hand and grabbed the second serf in a crushing grip. The man screamed like a child caught by a monster. The others did nothing to help, but shrank away from this angel who had become an ogre.
I was afraid you would say that, brother, Kellenvar sighed. But you are wrong.
He ran at his brother without warning, tackling him high. Kellenkir dropped the serf, who crawled away on his belly, weeping. And the legionary's face twisted with fury. He grappled with his brother, and both fell to the floor.
How dare you!
He scrambled onto Kellenvar's armoured shoulders, squatting on his chest, pinning his arms to the floor. He smashed his brother 4 times in the face, each blow like a falling anvil.
You are wrong. You are wrong. No one is coming. It will all end in darkness. It is the only way that anything ever ends.
Kalanvar bucked under his sibling. Kelenkir was the stronger. He always had been, but he did not have the added strength of his armour. Kalanvar twisted, sending his brother sprawling before rolling smoothly to his feet with his bolt pistol aimed at Kelenkir. Something caught his eye in that moment, through the windows out in the void. The glimmering precursor of an incoming warp translation. Kalanvar spat blood from his mouth.
Then, brother, look and see that I am not wrong.
Kelenkir's narrow eyes flickered warily to the view. A tear appeared in reality, vomiting bright colours into the shadow of Sotha. Tendrils of semi-sentient light writhed out as a battle fleet emerged from the Empyrean, psychic backwash boiling from its Geller fields. A Night Lord's fleet. The Nikton rocked in the warp wake of the vessels coming in, pitching them both from their feet. Kalanvar recovered first. He dived at his sibling, a pain spike in his hand. He jammed it into his brother's chest interface port. Devised to render a space marine immobile, its discharge blasted directly through Kelenkir's nervous system.
One day, little brother, I will kill you!
Kelenkir managed to slur, before collapsing with a thunderous crash. Kalanvar holstered his pistol and locked his long axe to his backpack.
Maybe, but I am saving you first, he muttered.
He picked Kelenkir up under the arms and began the long process of dragging him back to the salvage area. In their cages, the serfs wept. Krukesh the Pale, 103rd Captain, a lord of the new Cryoptera, strode onto the command deck of the Umber Prince, 20 of his warriors filing in close order around him. Only when he reached the waiting Scryvok and Kelenvar did the bodyguard part ways, and then he stepped forwards. He had his helm in the crook of his arm, exposing his pallid, corpse-like face. He looked around the bridge with eyes blacker than jet, an expression of mild amusement on his face.
Well, Scryvok, you have made quite the mess of this ship, have you not?
Only because we did not run quite as quickly as you, said Scryvok, who was painfully aware of the large number of fully operational vessels now crowding his limited view outside.
Ah! Krukesh wagged a finger. I am Cryoptera. I have gathered much of our scattered forces into something approaching a fighting legion once more, and am here, it appears, to rescue you from this little hole you find yourself in. A little more respect is due me, Clawmaster.
You are only Cryoptera by the say-so of Sevatar. That makes you no Cryoptera at all, said Kalanvar.
I am the one standing before you, with a fleet at my back, countered Krukesh. By my reckoning, that makes me better than most.
Didn't the first captain kill all the others? Asked Kalanvar.
You're a dog on a leash, nothing more. Perhaps you have a point, said Krukesh with mock equanimity.
He held up a finger as if he had just had the most marvellous idea.
I tell you what. How about I offer a place in my fleet to any of your warriors who desire it, and then leave you here to die alone in the dark? If I'm feeling sporting, I might contrive to let Gilliman's 13th know of your presence. At least you'll have a glorious death. Isn't glory what you desire?
Scryvok gave Kelenvar a warning look.
Kneel, said Krukesh.
Kelenvar unhitched his axe and planted its butt on the deck. Together, he and Scryvok got to their knees.
Welcome to the Umber Prince, my lord, said Scryvok through gritted teeth.
Krukesh accepted their obeisance with a satisfied sneer.
Better. You can get up now, if you like. Now, who is this insolent pup?
Kelenvar. He is my headsman.
And who is this one in chains?
Scryvok glanced over to a corner where Kelenkir was firmly shackled to a punishment post, furious eyes staring over a corrosion-resistant muzzle.
That's Kelenkir. He was the vexillary for the fourth chapter, said Scryvok with a pained smile. But he's gone. Well, mainly insane.
Krukesh looked incredulous.
Kill him, then.
Kellendvar wouldn't like that very much, would you, Kellendvar?
No, said the headsman, hefting his executioner's axe.
They're brothers, you see, explained Scryvok. Actual brothers, inducted at the same time, and Kellenkir is quite the warrior.
I could have all three of you killed, said Krukesh.
His escorts raised their bolters.
It is not wise to taunt him, Krukesh. Kellenvar is unbeaten in the practice cages by anybody's brother. It's why I chose him as my headsman. Then, in a stage whisper, Scryvok added,
So you see, he'll probably kill you first before he dies.
Krukesh snorted and let his threat drop.
This phenomenon you told me of, the 13th are building some kind of superweapon on Sotha.
Scryvok scratched the back of his neck, worrying at the cable entering the neural port there.
Some of the others thought so, which is why they all sneaked away. Cowards. But I'm not so sure it is a weapon. It has an effect on our systems, but not much. It's more like a powerful transmitter array, or a beacon.
A beacon?
You'll see for yourself, my lord,
said Scryvok with a total lack of sincerity. For the briefest moment, he got an insight as to how Shipmaster Harantax must feel.
You won't have to wait long. The Ultramarines are terribly conscientious. They fired the thing 3 times a day, every day for the last 2 weeks.
Always at the same time?
What do you think? It's the 13th.
True enough, said Krukesh.
Harantax cast a chrono count up onto the hololithic display. A miniature version of the Sothan system sprang up beneath it.
Sotha anomaly in 30 seconds, droned a servitor. 29... 28.
Scryvok watched Krukesh out of the corner of his eye. Looped holographic images of the captain's favourite victims played over some of his armour plates, interspersed with the Legion's customary lightning bolts in an endless exhibition of his past atrocities. His personal heraldry and insignia had been lavishly reapplied to his pauldrons. Fresh little affectations dangled from his armour, not just trophies, but cast representations of his chapter, companies, and veteran squad's iconography. His helmet bore a new, spread batwing crest in blatant imitation of Sevatar's own. So sure of himself, so puffed up by his survival, Scryvok had never liked him before, but this new Krukesh was detestable. The servitor's countdown ended. 3, 2, 1, mark. Scryvok waited expectantly. They all did.
Nothing's happening, said Krukesh.
It looks like I'm going to leave you here after all, Scryvok.
I don't understand,
blustered Scryvok.
It's the 13th. They must be up to something else. Wait a moment longer.
No, I don't think...
Krukesh stopped. A frown brought faint shadows to his pale features. A strange foreboding took hold of every one of them, and even the crew serfs looked to their displays, and the one undamaged armour glass poured in alarm. A pressure built in their hearts, presaging something dreadful. Scryvok felt a tickling sensation behind his eyeballs. An instant later, Sotha burst into brilliant light, more penetrating than the rays of the system's sun. The accompanying electromagnetic pulse overwhelmed the systems of the damaged ship, crashing cogitators, wiping out displays, dropping servitors, and sending the command deck into a darkness striated by the terrible, invasive light searing through the viewport. The Night Lords shielded their eyes and winced in pain. The lesser men and women upon the bridge collapsed screaming to the floor, clutching at their faces. Scryvok waited for night to fall again. It did not. He lowered his hand a fraction, daring the light. Unlike every other time before, the blaze of Sotha did not abate, but burned constantly. Seconds later, far too quickly for the light to have travelled by any normal physical means, another light seemed to answer it from afar, a single star burning true in the sickly blaze of the ether storm.
"Well, well, well," said Krukesh. "That, if I am not mistaken, is Macragge."
His spread fingers held up before him cast a hard black shadow across his face.
How very interesting.
Macragge, Sotha.
What was the connection? Then Krukesh activated his voxlink.
Prepare the fleet, he ordered, and gather my commanders. I think it is time for us to investigate this system a little more closely.
That was A Safe and Shadowed Place by Guy Haley, read by Stephen Perring.